here, just here, between these mortal ribs. Dear Ned, see how you bleed so sweet.
Hark you, boy, hark you. One hawk's more will this day terribly shake you.
Hawksmoor, dramatised for radio by Nick Fisher and based on the book by Peter Ackroyd, with Philip Jackson as Nicholas Dyer and Nicholas Hawksmoor. Episode 2.
Morning. I'm Detective Chief Superintendent Hawksmoor. This is Detective Sergeant Walter Payne. Your divisional superintendent has informed you of my involvement.
Indeed.
Who found the body and when?
A tramp looking for somewhere to sleep, 4 a.m.
Did he see anything that might be of interest?
No, he's sodden, barely articulate.
And where is the body exactly?
It was just there, but I authorised its removal after his father had identified it.
You did what?
Well, I know the procedure. Any evidence will be intact.
Inspector, firstly, you clearly do not know the procedure. Secondly, I happen to be sir to you. Never touch the body. Never so much as breathe on the bloody thing before the senior officer arrives at the scene of the crime. Got that?
Yes, sir.
Because that is the procedure. You can go. God. A child was murdered right here, Walter. And what have I got? White lines. They may as well have hosed the place down with anti-bloody septic.
Don't exactly follow, sir.
Remove the body and the atmosphere of the murder simply disappears, like so much dust on the breeze.
Still, we already have a positive ID, which isn't entirely a bad start, is it?
Well, you are clad in your it-could-be-worse wind cheater today.
Wind cheater, sir?
Holding the wintry breath of mortality at bay.
I'm a bit more of a bomber jacket type, really.
Did you get my drift? And feel the draft of the Reaper's scythe?
Well, something of the sort, I imagine.
Incredible. A touch of what appears to be as rare as hen's teeth in the Met these days. Imagination.
Thank you, sir.
All that long winter's day, while elsewhere Queen Anne discoursed music with Herr Handel, did the serpent Yorick Hayes, that green-eyed monster of a measuring surveyor, plague me, Nicholas Dyer, at the Office of Works in Scotland Yard. Certain was I that he was the maggot-headed villain who had sent that venomous letter threatening the exposure of my activities, the revelation of the sacrifices I had initiated for that very singular consecration of my churches. Finally, he returned home, his fat arse jiggling like it were overstuffed with stools. I turned to my faithful assistant.
It is the work of Providence, Walter, that most men are not able to foretell their own fate. For there was one in this room who must surely die.
We all must die, Master.
Yet it is hard to say who is sick and who is well.
Excuse me, sir. This is the boy's father, Mr. D.
I'm very sorry, Mr. D.
He was such a friendly boy.
I'm sure he was.
They asked me to bring something of his for the dogs. Is
oh,
it?
Oh, thanks.
He's a.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to. When did you last see your son, Mr. D?
6 o'clock yesterday evening.
Did he happen to say
Danny? When... He was called Danny.
Of course. Did Danny say where he was going?
He just said he was popping out, that's all.
Face engorged and blue. Showers of petechiae in eyelids and conjunctivae suggest asphyxia. The tongue protrudes through the teeth. Blood from burst vessels in both ears. No fingertip impressions on the neck. Several scratches, probably from the victim trying to prise off the attacker's hands. No impression of a ligature, no bite marks, no evidence of sexual assault. Incision made from throat, to pelvic bone. I am removing the tongue, aorta and esophagus.
Excuse me, sir.
Of course, Walter.
Bruising behind the voice box and fracture of hyoid bone suggest considerable strength. Definitely asphyxia by strangulation. Ends.
Mary, when is more important than how? I need a timetable.
3 to 4 minutes for unconsciousness, 4 to 5 for death.
That's not what I meant.
I'm afraid the timetable you're after is very tricky.
Why is that?
As you know, temperature rises sharply during asphyxiation, and after death, heat loss is variable.
So?
So, even if I allow for a rise of 6 degrees at death, and a loss rate of only 2 degrees an hour, then he was killed 6 hours ago. However, the lividity of the bruising indicates that occurred at least 48 hours ago. I don't understand that at all. I also don't understand why there are no impressions of the strangler's fingers. I should wash.
We'll get there, given time.
Oh, Mr. Dyer. What o'clock is it?
Almost 6, Mrs. Best.
So quickly by. I wish I were able to recover it a little. And that in more ways than one.
Time cannot be restored, unless it be in the imagination.
Someone call that order bedroom!
I would have no need of memories if only that which were present were more agreeable.
Well, Mrs. Best, they do say these old houses have as many ghostly tenants as a mausoleum. So you should not starve for want of chit-chat.
It is not words, but deeds I require. I do not have a scrap of nun's flesh about me, Mr. Dyer.
Evening, Master.
Nat, in the nick of time.
Nat, tell Mr. Dyer about the gentleman, do.
Which gentleman might that be?
He left no name, no message neither.
Look at the dust on this rail. Cleaned only this morning, too.
A pox on it. Who could this caller be? No one other than Yorick Hayes. The poisonous serpent had come to the door of my lodging at an hour when he knew I could not be within, merely so he might confound and perplex me. Yes, it must have been Hayes. Why, who else could it be that was seeking to detect and uncover me?
Ah, oh, Mr. Hawksmoor.
Good evening, nurse. How is he?
Much the same. He's missed you, you know. He really has. Go straight through.
Thanks.
Come, John, come, John, come.
Hello, Dad. I've come to see how you're doing.
Please yourself. You've always done that, of course.
So how are you keeping?
I keep myself to myself.
Are you eating well?
How would I know?
You look healthy, you know.
Well, I haven't got worms. Nay, is there still more to come?
What do you mean, Dad?
What happened to that letter? Did they find you out?
What letter? Is this something you wrote?
No. Walter wrote it.
Walter? Dad, did you say Walter?
Here, come the candle.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's disgusting. I'm going.
Mr.
Hawksmoor. Yes, here I am, Mrs. West.
I've just been having the most interesting chat.
Oh, really?
About computers, making this world a better place.
That's nice.
Yes.
Who did you have this chat with, Mrs. West?
Well, your Walter.
Walter's been here.
Well, he's still here. I took the liberty of letting him into your flat with a pass key. I was sure you wouldn't mind. Oh, look at the dust on this rail.
Down this morning, too. There you go.
Thanks.
Okay. Fire away.
All the results are in. The only blood and tissue groups were from the victim.
No prints or marks of any kind from the killer?
Nothing at all, sir.
Strike you as odd?
Very.
Okay.
First, young Thomas Hill is found in the abandoned tunnel by Christchurch Spitalfields. Death by strangulation, though there were no finger indentations. He also had broken ribs and internal injuries consistent with a fall from at least 30 feet. Thorough forensic examination reveals no trace of the killer. Agreed?
Agreed.
Then, a vagrant, Ned Robinson, is found by the crypt of St. Anne's Limehouse. Again, apparent death by strangulation despite a lack of indentation marks. And again, no trace of the killer. Now, we have Daniel D. at St. George in the East in Wapping with a similar, how shall we say, absence of the killer's presence.
And some totally impossible timing, sir.
Except the impossible doesn't exist. We live in the shadow of great events. If only we knew what they were.
Just where do we start, sir?
The beginning. Though I admit that's a bit tricky here. However, murderers don't disappear. Their crimes are not unsolvable. I think of it like a story. Even if we haven't understood the beginning, we must read on, just to see what happens next.
We've lost him, haven't we?
He'll do it again. They always do it again.
But isn't that what we want to prevent?
In an ideal world. Of course, I may not have to find him. He may find me.
The hawk-eyed creature had been in and out my office without cease. It was clear in abundance how Yorick Hayes spied upon me. And I received another letter that read thus: "This is to let you know that you should be spoken about. Flee the office by Monday next, or you may expect the worst." I decided, then and there. Hayes was a dead man, a jack pudding waiting to be eaten.
So I have this right, Master. Your Church of St. Mary Woolnoth is to show the ceiling plain, without panels, and have the steps of the cupola fashioned of Portland stone.
Yes. And there is to be no pinnacle, Walter.
Why?
There is no necessity for a pinnacle. Why have what there be no need of?
Very good, Master. Know you the vicar has written again. He says he would have the heathen rubbish that was found on the site removed.
Right, that he need not fear the contagion of these fine old altars we unearthed. Tell him we are building above as fine a piece of Christianity as he is ever like to see. They may not sing my praise now, but they will never forget my work.
Oh, and Sir Christopher sent word. He visits the commission tomorrow and would be thoroughly acquainted with your latest plans. Shall I inform Mr. Hayes to have them taken over?
By no means. I will take the plans in person.
Thus I called upon Sir Chris at Crane Court, where he had gone to pontificate a lecture for the fine fellows of the Royal Society, who are wont to dissect the mites in cheese and discourse upon atoms and other wild nonsense. They are such quacks as I would gladly piss upon. Were they worthy of my effort?
The little turret is a noble piece of work, Nick. The cornices are of stucco.
That is my purpose.
And the steps?
8. A 14-inch tread and a 5-inch rise.
Then that is resolved upon. Your drafts are well made, Nick, and this work would stand trial in a hurricane. How we would have an old and rotten church had it not been for the fire. That were a great blessing.
A blessing? What of those who say 1666 contains the very number of the beast, and thus boded some direful matter?
Nick, I deem it a disgrace to the reason of mankind to assign the causes of fires or plagues to the sins of men or the judgment of God. We have reached an enlightened age in which we may scatter such mists of superstition.
But mankind walks ever in a mist. This reason you glorify is a chameleon that changes its shape in every individual.
Now this is but wild talk.
I say this may be the age of systems, but you will fashion no plan to satisfy the truths of those who have looked into the abyss and seen demons.
Spirits, Nick, do not exist.
But what of the demoniac we saw in Bedlam who spoke so truly unto me?
Hush! More death! Still, Nick!
Nick!
Nick! Nick! More death! Why, you are my own!
How?
Hark you, boy! Hark you! One hawk's more will this day terribly shake you!
In what wise do you mean he spoke so true?
I I mean, clear it is he raved when he spoke of death. I meant only that he knew my name.
Coincidence, no more.
Why, what dark passions may overshadow the man whose senses are so full of the many productions as you are?
My passions are no different from the hypotheses built here. What do we see with the aid of your microscopical glasses but frightful shapes and figures? Breath condensed beneath them shows snakes and dragons within. No mathematical beauty, nothing but the contagion of this dunghill earth.
This is but a maze of words in which you will lose yourself. There is no truth so far elevated that man's reason may not reach it.
But when reason bids us good night, what then?
Why should you ask me such a question?
We are on an icy slope and all slide toward the same pit. I tell you there is a hell, just as there are gods and demons and prodigies. Your reason is but a toy when set against such terrors.
You have many unseasonable passions, Nick. Yet the years we have been acquainted cannot be obliterated by your melancholy temperament.
I admit I am of a melancholic humour, but it has been aggravated by many hardships of which you know nothing.
I know now, Nick.
Had I said too much? Had I said all? Yet I bethought myself of Vitruvius. O pygmy man, how transient compared to stone! When my name is no more than dust, and my passions are cooled forever, when even this age itself is for succeeding generations nothing but a dream, my churches will live on, darker and more solid than the approaching night. That evening I plied Yorick Hayes, that miserable specimen of a measuring surveyor, with strong liquor, led the traitor to St. Mary Woolnoth, and throttled him happily to death in its shadow.
Hello, yes.
Morning, sir. Looks like our man's killed again.
What? Where?
By St. Mary Woolnoth Church near the Bank of England. It's another young boy.
At last we have an opening, Walter. A chance of finding connections and signs.
Signs, sir?
Of the killer. Fibers, hair, blood, saliva, skin.
You'll be leading the forensic team yourself?
Certainly I will.
Morning, sir.
Morning. Entirely untouched.
Exactly as you requested.
Good.
The eyes are still bright. Muscles haven't relaxed to the vacancy of death quite yet. So, what was the last thing you saw before the blinds of consciousness fell? The killer. Right here. I can practically smell him, Walter. Founded in the Saxon Age and last rebuilt by Nicholas Dyer, 1714. Well, well. Dust to dust.
You believe in ghosts, sir?
Spirits, Walter, do not exist. Now, tape indicates nothing on the neck, but bag this all the same.
Of course, sir.
Have you noted the weather conditions?
Light drizzle, yes,
no,
sir.
No, I need the precise temperature. How the body cools is crucial.
Morning.
Morning, Mary.
You want a thermometer beside the liver, don't you?
Absolutely.
Just as well I happen to have a sharp knife, then.
You know what I need.
Time, your favourite subject. You're wondering if it's the same killer.
I'm sure. It's an identical modus operandi.
You're right, sir.
Walter, come on.
What is it, sir?
There's someone in the shadows under the scaffolding. Where have they gone?
Only way be down, where they're excavating.
Let's take a look, shall we?
You don't think?
I don't know what I think.
Keep your wits about you.
Looks like the foundation's got pretty deep.
Sir, someone there, behind that sheeting.
Right, back me up now, Walter.
I'm on your shoulder, sir.
Don't move, please.
Oh, how interesting.
Who are you? What are you doing here?
The name's Penny Emery, archaeologist. Why?
Check that, Walter.
Sir.
Uncovered anything of interest, Miss Emery?
The flint blocks, masonry, foundation trench.
How far down have you reached?
Well, so far we've got to the 6th century.
That old?
Oh, there's always been a church here. I think Dyer liked to build on the dead. I'm sure there's lots still to discover. Maybe more bones.
Bones?
We found a skeleton higher up. 200, maybe 300 years old. I wondered if it might have been a workman killed while the church was being rebuilt.
Oh, that's certainly a theory. My daughter's an archaeologist, a keeper of Egyptian antiquities at the British Museum. Loves digging into the past herself.
Story's confirmed, sir. And we have ID on the dead boy. His name is Matthew Hayes, reported missing last night.
John Vanbrugh it was who brought word of Hayes' demise to the Office of Works. Further, he informed me it was Walter Pine that discovered the body. Indeed, I had not seen Walter all that day, which had perplexed me greatly. Later, I found written upon a little paper tucked beneath a box on Walter's desk these words: O misery, them shall die. I puzzled long, till I anagrammatized the letters, and to my horror discovered they also read thus: Dyer has smote me ill, with YH for the name Yorick Hayes.
Tremendous.
Perfect setting.
St. George's?
Stone. Handle bounces off it as if they were conceived together.
I'd like you to relax when you're on a case, Dad.
Music's not just relaxing. It's got mathematically precise structures, Anne. Every note's a clue to the composition's effect. Surface traces on the stave point to the underlying impact of the whole. Then in concert, the mystery is made transparent.
And how's your own mystery?
Unusual. People often say the more unusual the case, the easier it is to solve.
But not you, and not this one.
No. But reason and observation will prevail.
You know, some women say all men are potential rapists.
Yeah?
Do you believe everyone's a potential killer?
Why not? And you know, there's one constant in all murderers. They recall the sequence of events around the killing, exactly what they did before and after. But they never remember the moment of death. And that's why they leave a clue.
So your killer's left one?
Not yet, but he will.
Aren't there crimes that simply can't be solved?
I don't think so.
Maybe this will be the first.
Alas, poor Yorick Hayes. No man was more astonished than I at his sad demise, Sir Christopher.
Strangled like a bear upon a leash.
I have rosemary to throw upon the coffin.
Oh, here. I am obliged to you, Nick.
At least his resting place is meet.
How so?
He greatly admired St. Mary Woolnoth. Mm. To be buried thus in its shadow would surely please him.
Well, that may be so.
Dust to dust.
At your devotions, Nick?
I have faith in the true religion.
John Vanbrugh beckons me to the playhouse tonight. Would you care to join us?
And your reflections upon the play?
I have quite forgotten, Mr. Vanbrugh, save that the sun was a shining disc and thunder was noise from a drum.
These are but our devices, Mr. Dyer.
But the sun is a vast and glorious body, and thunder the most terrible phenomenon. They are not to be mocked, as sure as religion itself is not.
Oh, amen to that, Mr. Dyer. Yet the play was well received, was it not?
But the audience had so humble an opinion of itself that it thought what pleased the people of fashion ought to please it also.
Found you not that the language was enriched with beautiful conceptions?
I found the dialogue fitted up with too much facility, when words should be plucked from obscurity and nourished with care, improved with art and corrected with application.
But the greatest art is to speak agreeably about the smallest things, to spread a general evenness of humour and a natural decency of style.
No, no. Were I a writer, I would thicken the water of my discourse so that it was no longer easy or familiar. I would employ a huge and luscious style with outlandish phrases and fantastical terms, thus to restore terror, reverence,
and desire.
Well, John, you and your fellows of the playhouse might have competition if ever Nick decides to leave off fashioning stone for the glory of God. More brandy here, boy.
The best authors, Mr. Vanbrugh, are like the best buildings, the most ancient.
The fables and religions of the ancient world are well nigh consumed. It is high time to dismiss them, Mr. Dyer.
What? Yeah. When there is scarcely any art or faculty wherein we do not come short of the ancients. We live off the past.
It is in our words and our very syllables. It is reverberant in our streets and courts, so we can scarce step forward without being reminded of those who walked there before. The past ages eclipse our timepieces, and in those shadows the generations jostle as one. It is the dark of time from which we come, and to which we will return.
Not much, Joy!
Cabs, like criminals. Never there when you want them.
Let's cross back to Bloomsbury Way.
I never know.
What?
I never know where anything comes from.
What are you talking about?
Where you come from, where I come from, where all this comes from. Look at it. This vast, bleeding body of a city. Where did it come from?
I've said too much, I've said all.
Like all life, it came from the sea, didn't it? 50 million years ago, the site of this capital was covered by great waters.
Well, maybe, but I don't see what bearing that has on anything.
You get a bearing from a compass, Anne. And a compass is needed here. A compass across time. You see, London clambered from the swamp, constructing itself of the very clay it was based on. They found crocodiles in some of that clay, you know, in Islington, not far from you.
Spare a coin for the picture.
Very nice. What's he looking at?
The top stone of the spire. Where else?
What's he holding to his eye?
A looking glass. The better to see the full.
It's powerful. Here.
Oh.
The Lord deliver you from this muck rake.
Peculiar piece of pavement, aren't
you? You know, all the changes to the city. Clay to mud to straw to cobblestone to pavement are like the expanding surface of a balloon. Every part grows at the same rate, yet it all becomes ever more fragile on the point of implosion and confusion.
Dad, what are you on about? Taxi?
Well, we've caught a cab, if not yet a criminal. Good night.
Good night.
The ancients wrote of universal passions, while now people desire only that which is deemed new or surprising. Our predecessors understood nature is a dark room. That is why their tragedies will stand when our very playhouses are crumbled into dust. For they reflect corruption, and men are the same now as they have ever been.
I say your reverence for the ancients is an excuse for plagiarism.
That is not so. Why, Homer himself built upon many predecessors. It is only from imitation.
Plagiarism,
only from imitation do we arrive at order and massiveness.
Pray speak that you may be understood, Mr. Dyer. Language was designed for
you. You would have me speak plain when my words would blast
oh,
you.
Oh, peace, Nick. John means no hurt. More brandy.
Look here, Mr. Vanbrugh. Milton copied Spencer, as Spencer copied his master Chaucer. This world is a continued allegory and a dark conceit.
And what is your allegory, sir?
I build in hieroglyph and shadow.
Oh. And how do your churches with that?
They do very well.
You build in Greenwich?
First St. George's in Bloomsbury, then in Greenwich.
Morning, sir.
Morning, Walter. What have you got for me?
The usual. Cranks and weirdos writing in with advice.
And something unusual?
Well, something distinctly weird, sir. It reads, "Don't forget, this is to let you know what I will be spoken about. Oh, misery, if they will die." With this picture of an arrow, I think it is.
Well, I can't see that.
Wait. Crosses at the points of the arrowhead and the base of the shaft. This is geography, Walter.
Geography.
For crosses, read churches. At the apex of the triangle, Spitalfields. At the ends of the baseline, St. George in the east and St. Anne's Limehouse, which leaves St. Mary Woolnoth further west. Here. Crosses, where our four victims were found.
Well, I suppose that's a theory. Oh, and this came with it, sir. One picture, labelled the Universal Architect.
Well, well.
What is it, sir?
I've seen this before. Chalked on the pavement by St. George's in Bloomsbury. The artwork of a tramp.
So the same person could have done both.
Indeed. And a tramp was the second victim.
There'll be the church, and there'll be the steeple. Open the door, but where be the people?
Ah, how do you do, my little one?
Who are you, sir?
Fear me not. You like my Bloomsbury Church of St. George?
I like it well enough, sir.
That is me, as you will see it for eternity.
Master Dyer, are you with the living today?
Ah, Sir Christopher, forgive me. I was lost in a reverie of some delight.
Not on events at St. George's, then. A young boy was murdered in the shade of your church but last night, Nick.
Then we may hope he exists in a better place now.
Amen to that. Where is Walter Pine these days?
I am informed he has grown heavy with hypochondrical melancholy. I visit his dwellings afternoon for enlightenment upon the matter.
Let us trust it is but a passing fever. Nick, in your cups with John Vanbrugh, you talked somewhat wildly of the ancients.
It was the brandy that preached. I should abjure.
Perhaps. Yet it put me in mind of something we shared many years past. Our trip to Stonehenge.
These slabs are the image of God raised in terror, or men metamorphosed into stone.
It is said that old men dream while the young see visions, and you are young still.
The Memphitic Pyramid was 20 years and 300,000 men in the building. How many must have labored here, and for how long?
We can but conjecture.
Sir Christopher, feel you unwell?
Forgive me, I just now had a vision of my son dead.
And he died at that time in some foreign land, did he not?
Beside the Nile. A passing strange coincidence, Nick. But this is idle chat. I admire your plans for St. Alphege's in Greenwich. You do great work. I do not underestimate your powers.
No! No! Be gone!
Walter Pine, do you not know me?
Yes, I know you too well. Oh, I thought you might leave your post and forget me.
I can never cancel my obligation to you for your labours. Why, you are my right hand.
No, no. I wished you to leave. So you're not the lines I wrote?
Some musty stuff in anagram. Oh, misery, them shall die, I did.
I wrote no anagram. I speak of the letters.
What?
I wish to entice you to leave the office.
Those letters were the work of Yorick Hayes.
No, master. That was my hand, not his. And I'll tell you a mystery. I dreamed I killed Hayes. The next day I found his corpse. I fear the shadows that grow around my mind. What must I do?
My own assistant had plotted against me. Not the green-eyed monster Hayes at all. Later, I would have to deal with Walter Pine. In the meantime, I made the necessary sacrifice at my newest church in Greenwich, and then turned my fullest attention to the proposal for the Church of Little St. Hugh, to be built upon the site of the Assembly of Mirabilis in Blackstep Lane. Thus will I yet complete the figure. Spitalfields, Limehouse, and Wapping shape the triangle. St. Mary Woolnoth and Bloomsbury then create the major pentacle star. All these with Greenwich form the sextuple abode of Baal Berith, Lord of the Covenant. Then, With Little St. Hugh rises the septilateral figure about Blackstep Lane. Let those with understanding count the number. The seven churches are built in conjunction with the seven planets of the lower orbs, the seven circles of the heavens, the stars of Ursa Minor, and the Pleiades. Thus have I built an everlasting order, which I may run through unmolested. No one can catch me now.
Where did you find these two?
One in Greenwich, the other near St. George's in Bloomsbury.
Ow!
Sorry, there's some tissues over there.
Yeah, thanks.
I pass St. George's every day on the bus. Odd spot for a murder.
Why?
Very public.
On the bus route, not round the back.
I suppose not. Well, there we are. Not a great incision, but never mind.
So what can you tell me?
Both killed by a ligature that hadn't been tied. Or at least there's no evidence of a knot on the throats. I'd guess it was some kind of folded cloth, but I can't detect any weave or pattern to help you further. Also, there are no prints, marks or stains relating to the attacker.
How can he leave absolutely no trace, Mary?
I have no idea. But I do hope you catch this bastard.
I saw a church tower 12 yards deep. I saw dust made of men's tears that weep. I saw stone all in a flame of fire. I saw a stairway big as the moon and higher. I saw the sun red even at midnight. I saw the man who saw this dreadful sight.
So, where do we go from here, sir?
Where do we ever go? It may look like we're moving, but we're standing still as stone.
Sorry, sir?
I want the tramp I saw who did the picture. He had long hair, matted like tobacco.
Tobacco?
Someone delivered a book through my letterbox this morning. Here. The Universal Architect.
This is the same picture.
Exactly. The Power in Images. The Seven Wounds. Oh, misery, they shall die.
Shall I send this for analysis, sir?
I've already done that. It's spotless.
Walter,
track down the nearest doss house to St. George's Bloomsbury.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. We're police officers.
Oh, yeah? Here comes a candle.
Does anyone here know someone called the architect?
The architect? Well, God bless us all.
Do you know him?
Or if Lud does?
I need to discover his name, Lud.
Easy. His name is Legion.
Where can I find him?
You don't find the architect. He finds you.
When did you see him last?
Mummy's brains are removed through the nose.
Walter, assist the gentleman to his feet. He wishes to come and help us with our inquiries.
Come on in.
How are you feeling, Lud?
Well, all perils, especially malignant, are recurrent. Got a cigarette?
You were telling me about the architect.
Was I?
Indeed you were, Lud.
Well, then I suppose I was.
Would I be right to say you know him?
You might be.
Can you tell me his real name?
Anubis. Who knows?
But you did see him.
When?
That's what I'm asking you. When did you see him, Lud?
That night.
What night?
That one.
All right. What time was it?
The time of Glastonbury and Limehouse.
Was it very dark?
Blacker than the underworld where Seth reigns.
Please try and remember what you saw.
Problem is, I wouldn't say I was 100% sober. Like the unvarnished grain of a parallel universe. But next thing, there was the policing.
In where?
I've seen you before, haven't I?
In where?
In that church. The staircase rising from the forge.
Oh, this is just coincidence, isn't it?
Connections. threaded through Cleo's knee.
What does he look like, this man?
He's got hair. Like tobacco. And he draws. He draws the life out of you. I've never seen such drawings.
I'd say that's the same man. I'd say it could be. Call a press conference. There's precious little to go on.
It's time. We were seen to be taking some action. We'll let them know there's a certain vagrant we need to interview in relation to the murders. And we can furnish them with a description.
I think there'll be quite a few that fit it, sir.
Nick! Nick, has news of Walter been cried up to?
No. What is the matter?
I fear he is dead.
I was aware of the illness that beset him.
It was not of natural causes. He hanged himself.
Walter committed self-murder?
Can you make sense from that?
No, not. But wait. In his fever, he told me he had killed Yorick Hayes. You may imagine I did not believe him. But in the light of this, why then perhaps he spoke true.
Thus did I kill two birds. The death of Hayes was laid to Walter, so putting me out of road of eager inquirers. And Walter had dispatched himself, thus relieving me of the labour. But still was I never at ease. I had each night most frightful dreams.
What is that, sir?
It is that which consecrates the chosen.
Is it blood, sir?
You will make the necessary sacrifices yourself in time when you build your great churches. That Satan is God of this world and fit to be worshipped, will I offer you certain proof.
Is this the strange time?
Strange time, Dad? Do you mean the waiting?
I suppose I do. And the smell of death.
I heard on the news that you had thousands of sightings and that people were taking the law into their own hands, attacking tramps. Terrible.
When murderers kill themselves, they try to make it look like another murder. Crafty to the end. What's amazing, though, is just how many are struck by lightning before they can get that far.
What?
I often wonder if this whole city isn't involved in the murders committed in its bowels. You see, all that really changes is the form. Strangling and stabbing, popular in the 18th century, while the 19th was all slashed throats and clubbings at the start, and poisonings and mutilation by the end. And death groups across time. There's an ancient murder zone in Islington, right where you are. Yes, there's much more than Joe Orton's blood on your very doorstep.
God, Dad, when you're on a case...
What? What?
This is what Mum couldn't stand.
You asked to see me. I didn't ask to see you. If you don't like it, you can leave me alone, you know. I'm not a baby. Why don't you just go?
I'm going to, as it happens. That's why I wanted to see you. You might remember I mentioned Professor Aykroyd, if you actually focus on real life at all these days.
Ah, the archaeologist, head lost in the sands of time.
He's coming over from Egypt.
You're not going back out to that spooky old tooth.
No. Professor Aykroyd's looking at some strange connections. He wants to go to Stonehenge. A colleague of mine from the museum, Dr. Sinclair's the expert on that, so the three of us are going down there together. And I have to say, that'll be a whole lot nicer than staying here with you.
Walter, you got something?
Sweet FA.
Oh, well. Have I shown you this?
Book. Yes, sir, every day.
Really? Oh, well. Did you know there are people who are so frightened of being murdered that they die of their own fear? Imagine.
Sir, I was wondering...
Yes, Walter, come on, spit it out. This wondering.
Should you have a bit of a rest?
Who told you to say that?
No one. It's just that it's been a long time. You deserve a break. And it seems to me that we're not getting anywhere, sir.
That's how it seems, does it?
We don't have the facts we need.
Tell me, do any two people ever see the same thing, in your opinion?
Well,
No, probably not.
It's our job to interpret the facts. And facts don't mean much until that's been achieved.
Well, I suppose.
And where does that interpretation come from? Us. And who are we? Don't you think I worry when everything falls apart in my hands? But it's not the facts I worry about. It's me.
This morning, I saw before me an image of my own apparition. Every detail of my face as in a looking glass. It wore a strange habit, cut like an undergarment and had no wig. How my nightgown was dark with sweat. I do not fear dying for the agonies of it, being persuaded that I have endured as great pains in this life as ever I should find in death. Yet it may be that I cannot die.
Master. Nat, I have this morning vomited up a thing most foul.
More fevers and gouty sickness, is it? Shall I bring you water to wash your mouth?
Peace, Nat. Can you not see? I have some thing with me. Look!
Good God, no! Lord, spare me! Let me not see nothing! See nothing!
I am ready. Ready for my approaching change.
Nick, I've been going through the paperwork on these murders. There seems to be precious little progress.
We'll get there, given time.
Yeah, but we're not becoming any wiser. We're not accruing knowledge. I've got something else for you. Not quite your usual line, but...
You're taking me off the case.
Well, not so much. That is putting you on another.
You're taking me off the case.
You've got things out of perspective, Nick. You've done a good job, you've laid the foundations. Now I need someone else to build the case up. Stone by stone.
But the bodies are in the foundations.
Nick! People have spoken to me. I know you've been under a lot of strain.
Who's spoken to you? Who?
Before you begin the new case, I think you should take some time off.
You knew.
Everybody did, sir. It was just a matter of time.
You spoke to the Assistant Commissioner about me, didn't you, Walter?
A lot of people were consulted.
Well, doesn't much matter now. It's over.
You'll bounce back, sir.
Dust doesn't bounce.
Sorry, sir.
Time's a strange master. It passes, and yet the shadows around us do appear to change, don't they, Walter?
In my fever, I am cut down out of time. I call out for Nat, but Nat Elliot is gone. I will see him no more. I put on my coat, and I leave my dwelling. As I walk, I see prentices playing, labourers about their work, mountebanks calling, cooks dripping at their doors, nuts and oysters and chestnuts piled high. And all these things shall crumple into dust, yet will my churches survive. The city is but a dream blurred about me. St. Mary Axe and London Wall. My tears fall upon the moss. Moorfields, Blackstep Lane, and the vastness of stone of my church of Little St. Hugh.
From my first years, thy horrors have I endured with a troubled mind.
I look up till I can look no more. I have run to the end of my time. I kneel before the light, and my shadow stretches across the world.
Well, how could I be mad yet?
You cried out. Something about a troubled mind.
Did I, Mrs. West? I must have dropped off.
How's the temperature?
Still high. Oh,
someone called for you last night. A man. A tall man. I told him you were out. I thought it best.
Yes, very good. I don't want callers.
That's what I thought.
Mrs. West, I'll be going away shortly.
Really?
I deserve a rest. So if anyone comes, just tell them.
Of course. Where will you be going?
I don't know. Where does anyone ever go?
What wind blew hither,
came to no ice.
I saw a door which opened on a fire. I saw a pit which rose even higher. I saw a child who danced round and round. I saw a house which stood beneath the ground. I saw a man who is not, nor ever could he be. Hold up your hand and look, for you are he.
The service is almost over.
No matter.
How complicated life is. How dark the future. How distant our ancestors. But each age has brought the same. And they turned to God, thinking if there are shadows, there must also be light. Beyond our years, there is an eternity which intersects with time. Here, in this very church.
Christ Church, Spitalfields, Nicholas Dyer, 1713. St. Mary Woolnoth, founded in the Saxon Age, rebuilt by Dyer, 1714. Dyer, the connection, the stave for my notes. I'm on the threshold!
Sir, please be calm.
Dyer, Nicholas, pupil of Wren, Office of Works at Scotland Yard, Commission for New London Churches, realised 7. Christchurch, George's, Georgian East, and Zalphages, Mary Woolnoth, and finest of all, Little St. Hugh. The last note that completes the work. I've been to all the others. This is the threshold. In concert!
Chestnuts!
Excuse me. I seek the Church of Little St. Hugh.
Up St. Mary X, follow London Wall. Moorfield, you want black step line.
Mind the moss, you can be slipping with tears.
I have endured all these troubles for thy sake.
Why have you come here?
He has the sign over him, for he is the corn crushed from the chaff.
Oh, the eternal vastness of stone and the transience of man. Where there is shape, there is reflection. Where there is light, there is shadow. Where there is sound, there are echoes. And who will say where one is ended and the other begins?
Well, Professor, the Great Circle.
Stonehenge. The very image of God raised in terror. Or man metamorphosed into stone.
Now, if I've got it right, you're looking to connect this to the Glastonbury Pyramid,
mm-hmm.
to our Egyptian dig, and to St. Anne's in Lyme.
Mm.
Oh!
Hey, Dr. Oh. Hawksmoor, what is it?
Forgive me. I just now had a vision of my father. Dead.
Feet dance and dance in the dust as I step on smooth and ancient stone.
Certain must it be that I sleep, for all these figures now greet me as the inhabitants of a dream.
Onward! On! But a few steps further!
I walk the circle and enter the labyrinth of the pyramid. Yet though I am there, still am I here, within the septilateral figure I have fashioned, within the everlasting order of my London churches. I look down. I see the rags in which I stand. A child again, begging on the threshold of eternity.
In episode 2 of Hawksmoor, Philip Jackson played Nicholas Dyer and Nicholas Hawksmoor, with Norman Rodway as Sir Christopher Wren and Richard Johnson as Mirabilis. Miranda Foster played Anne, Ben Crowe, Nat Elliott, and Thomas Arnold was Walter Pine and Walter Payne. Richenda Carey was Mrs. Best and Mrs. West. Andrew Winkert, Sir John Vanbrugh, and Terence Edmund, Hawksmoor's father. Helen Ayres was the pathologist, and Claire Corbett, the archaeologist. The children were Jordan Calvert, Luke Smith, and Bradley Souter. Hawksmoor was dramatized by Nick Fisher and based on the book by Peter Aykroyd. The director was Janet Whittaker.